We are back. I hope you're all rested and refreshed after the summer. That phrase has become a bit of a joke among some mum friends of mine. Frankly, as much as I've loved the summer, the weather, getting away off to COVID and so on, it can be a whole lot more stressful. Having no routine, trying to keep on top of work, trying to find fun, and dare I say it, even developmental activities for the kids that don't just see them sat in front of a screen for hours on end. So September is upon us, and the return, as the French even have a word for it, la rentrée. It's always splashed everywhere on billboards and shop windows, and there's loads of pressure on families and kids to hit the new term and make it a huge success. But the reality isn't always like that, is it? In fact, I suspect it's often not like that. So whether you'll be making a mad dash to Tesco for the last pair of white school socks in your kid's size the night before term starts, or whether you're a super planner who's got everything washed, ironed, labelled and laid out, my guest today has undoubtedly got some excellent advice to help you go back to school without the tears and tantrums. She's Heather Rutherford of the Parenting Partnership. I need to be careful this doesn't just turn into a very, very selfish coaching session. But it's natural, obviously, emotions run high both among our children and I think parents in that first term, probably certainly first half term, as we all get into a new routine. You obviously work with clients to help smooth any emotional and sort of familial tension and stress. What tends to be the thing you see or you're helping clients with around the September re-entry?
You hit the nail on the head when you said emotions, because on the one hand, we are often quite excited to get our children back to school. We've had the juggle of the holiday, and I think we're also a bit tired. And we also have wonderful sort of expectations and anticipate this great re-entry to school. But that's quite an emotional thing. So I think parents are quite emotional, often with expectations, either hopeful that things will go well, or also if they have a child that's starting a new school, a child who's starting at school, perhaps someone's just started a new job, perhaps also, which used to be my case, school mornings were dreadful. And you also have the emotion around, I'm really hoping they go better this year. So I still think we don't really realize how much emotion is behind this whole going back to school.
It's so true. And I'll be really honest, mornings are hideous in our house, you know, during term time. And we're a really small family. I only have to get one child off to school. And I tend to assume it's if the child would just X, Y, Z, if he would just get dressed, if he would just eat his breakfast, if he would just get up. But actually, that point you mentioned about us putting expectations, I kind of feel like I'm bracing myself already for what's to come and going back to the way things were last year. And we keep saying, but we can't do that. We need to change. But we don't know what it is we need to change.
It's such a good point. I have three children. They are all at university now. So it's a little while ago, but my mornings were horrendous. And actually, I think mornings were probably one of the reasons I ended up doing what I now do, because I think that I used to ask myself, this cannot be that hard. I learned so many things, but one of them is that we have to just put ourselves in our children's shoes. So our children each are very different. And if you think about school as it's many things, but one thing it is a transition. It's a transition from home to another place with a different environment. And I always say to my clients that we just really need to drill down and know and really get curious about each of your children. Very briefly, I had three kids. One was very outgoing, bounced out the door. Another one more sensitive. So school for her was a whole different thing. And I think the third one was just a bit cross. But once I started to kind of step back and say, okay, now I get what this experience feels like for each one of them, that's the first step in thinking about how you can manage it. So emotionally, as well as practically. So just a quick example, one of your children might be a slow starter. For them to get dressed downstairs, get breakfast, you have your bag in the car, they're still on get dressed. Children anyway can only hold just a couple of pieces of information at a time. But if you know that's how your child works, then you can step back, not in the morning, another time and think, how can we make this go more smoothly for you? What will work for you so that my goal is I get you out the door dressed and as you need to be, but also feeling good about yourself.
Sometimes when things escalate, it's so stressful for us as well as their parents that you then end up starting the day super stressed and with all that cortisol, and let alone them as well. There is this thing of emotions or nervousness. It tends to come mostly from the mothers feeling very worried, very anxious, maybe full of expectation. What can we do to calm ourselves, I suppose, and not put that pressure on ourselves or on our children?
Well, the first thing I always say is take a deep breath. We just have to have a good chat with ourselves. And I think what you also just pointed out, really important thing, which is all our emotions are reflected in our behavior. So if we have either worries and expectations, then even if we don't mean it to, it will come out in the way we respond, right? So if our children are dragging their feet, or if someone has come down without having brushed their teeth, you might just be a bit snappy, you might nag. But actually, if we try and set ourselves up ahead of time and also have a good old chat with ourselves to really check in on what our expectations are, that's a really good place to start. To give you an example, once we know that our emotions all come out in how we behave, that's a first step. And the second thing is if we just try and put some names to it. So with our kids, for example, and we can do the same thing for ourselves. If your son was really having a difficult time, you might, the night before, when you're calm and playing a game, just spending some time with him one-on-one, you might say to him, I'm just thinking you might be a bit worried about school starting tomorrow. And you kind of just leave it. And I say, I totally get that. You know, you've had the whole summer and that change is a big thing to get used to. And I know rushing in the morning isn't always your favorite thing. It's not mine either. First of all, you connect with how he might be feeling. And once you get him thinking, you know, soft and kind of being able to know that you're actually really trying to understand, then you can say, I'm just wondering what we can figure out together, both of us, to make the mornings go more smoothly. And they might come up with an idea. It might be as simple as choosing his breakfast the night before, packing his bags. You can have him do all these things, but you do it when you're both calm, feeling connected. Not, I used to do it in the morning with everything going on. You know, one of the most important things I learned, it's just to connect emotionally, have them understand. And then also when you're in a calm, relaxed place is when you try and set them up to make things go better the next time.
With younger children, so junior school, infant school, how far in advance can you do this?
I have a little story about this because my youngest child actually is one who really likes to be prepared for things. She doesn't like quick change, and took me a while to realize. And I used to ambush her at the last minute, thinking that was the most effective way to avoid any pushback. So how was I wrong? But so actually what you need to do is you need to set them up ages in advance. So a good example would be, we've got, maybe just even a couple of days before school starts, a week before school starts, especially the younger ones, but all of them. So let's talk about the younger ones first. There's so many fun things you can do. If they have a uniform, if they're really little, you could do it with their kind of teddies. You start talking about what the morning will be like, what school will be like. And I'm sure the schools are so wonderful at helping the young ones get ready for a new class, a new teacher. And just sort of do it a few times again when you're having fun together, so they really get used to it. And also it gives you a great opportunity to try and pick up on any things that they might feel a bit uncomfortable about. But the real big lesson is that don't do what I did, which is leave it to the last minute and hope that it all goes well. If you think about it from a brain point of view, the more they've actually thought through, they're practicing and practicing. And then when actually it happens, it's something that feels a lot more familiar, especially if you have a child who you feel you're worried as well about how they're going to be saying goodbye to you in the mornings. It's a great thing to do little role plays, come up with your own little routine that you do together that you agree upon. I mean, it still might take a little bit of time for them to get used to it, but just really practice and jump in there and don't be afraid of going to that emotional place.
Really? At home even? Or are you actually getting them to imagine they're going to the place, whether it's nursery or school, or are you doing different scenarios?
Well, I think there's various things. If, for example, if it's a new school, if you walk there, I'd walk there, drive there. And also you could talk about the morning, what it might be like, you know, hopefully maybe they have a friend. So when you go in, you might find Emily. I remember we saw when we looked at the playgrounds in the back, that's where you go first. Because you can imagine how much better that is than them not knowing. You might not realize, but actually they might be worried about where to go, what it's going to be like. The strangest things kids worry about. Mum, how do they know what snacks I like? Or I don't like apples with the skin on. All the tiny little things that they worry about. But yeah, the more we help them feel comfortable, first of all, it's so good for their connection and trust with us. And second of all, you are just giving them the opportunity to feel some of the emotions ahead of time and practice.
So true. And I think certainly from my case, I get quite excited about the new term. I mean, I just as you're talking again, I can see how I do so much that isn't right for my son's personality or character type. I get really excited when all the new school uniform arrives and I kind of unpack it and I'm like, come on, let's try it on. Ooh. I just know from previous years, he feels totally jumped by it. And either he can't be bothered to try it on because he's in the middle of playing Lego or something. And he's just like, yeah, it's all fine. And then we get to the day of start and it doesn't fit or something. Or he gets a bit overwhelmed by it because, again, he's a child who doesn't enjoy transition, certainly not fast transition.
Just even knowing that, though, Jane, is so good because then you can also help him learn more about himself. So just as you were speaking, I was thinking you could say to him, you know, I know change isn't always the easiest thing for you. However you say it in a way that's empathetic, you know, I feel the same way. Or you could say, you know, I'm somebody who actually quite loves change, but your dad, he's a lot more like you. He likes to kind of know what's going on. And when I say to him, come on, Charlie, we're off now, he doesn't like that very much. So how just to help them relate and know that whatever they're feeling is normal, I think it's really important too. So you're helping them learn more about themselves and you're also helping them learn to manage that particular part of their temperament to its best advantage. One of my children, we always started like making lists and that just helps her. She just needs to feel organized, whereas another one doesn't. So just finding little things that you think can help them.
And I loved your idea about, you know, potentially meeting someone on the way to school if we're walking or biking or whatever. Just seeing some familiarity, something that isn't, oh, this is all so new and this is all so different from what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks.
And another thing that I always say was probably the first thing that we kind of think about is that just getting our kids ready practically. One of the most important things, especially for little kids, is to start now adjusting their sleep time. I always think of the autumn term, it's such an exhausting one because it's so sort of new and then it gets dark and then it's long. And for us to expect our kids, even though we might quite like those last savoring moments of summer with those late films and the, oh, one more run around the garden, to expect our kids to kind of go from, you know, Sunday to Monday and get out of bed with a smile on their face at 7:15. So little practical things like that are really important.
Yes. Yeah, that's really helpful. I think as working mums, we bend over backwards. We do everything we can in the summer to prioritise our kids and give them time. But let's not forget, work is building up, piling up. So come September, we're like, right, I've got to get back. I want to really throw myself in. So there's a pressure on ourselves to make that re-entry to school smooth and problem-free so that we can go off and be the best we can be at work and not be worrying. There's nothing worse than dropping your child at school, having to walk away where you can still hear their crying ringing in your ears, and then you've got to run and get on a train and try and focus on your 9 o'clock meeting. What sort of advice, tip, experience can you give us on on that?
Well, I think first of all, what you just said, to recognize it, because I always feel, just as you said, you have this excitement about, you know, September, new school uniform. We put off so many things and we think, oh, September, I'm going to get so much done. So we also have to appreciate that we've actually put quite a bit of pressure on ourselves, our own expectations. And we should just ask ourselves how much wiggle room, I think, that we have, just whether in fact we're just expecting too much. We may not be, because we just need to get stuff done, and that's fine too. I think just to be a bit kind to ourselves, to appreciate how we're feeling, because so much of being that calm, present parent is how we are feeling inside ourselves. One thing I really learned is that there's so many little practical things that we can do that will make our lives much easier. So let's give an example. Going back to mornings again, little kids, talk about the routine, get them to do as much as possible so we take a little bit more pressure off us. One thing I always love are visuals. Sit down with your kids and make it fun and say, all right, what do we need to do in the morning? And let's do a little drawing, and you could put down, you know, uniform, teeth, brushing hair, breakfast. Just make it fun. Because you're empowering your children to take some responsibility for it, it's a help. Second of all, because you've discussed it together, if you're there and your son, you see, hasn't brushed his teeth, you could say, what does it say we're supposed to be doing after we get dressed? Oh, I brushed my teeth. It won't always go like that, Jane, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's just an example. And then the other really important point that we haven't discussed is we need to really focus on when our kids do the right thing. So this is a beautiful way of saying, look at you, you've already done two things that you needed to do this morning. What do you need to do now? And it takes away that nagging, and it takes also, again, a bit of that whole, oh, I have to do everything. Because we tend to do that as moms because it's faster, it'll get done right. Usually we can do it without too much nagging, and it won't go always smoothly, and we'll learn, but celebrate the times it does, and make sure we can also talk about it with our kids in the evening. Wow, that morning was brilliant, guys. Yeah, I really love the way you came downstairs with your hair ties. How did you remember where they were? Like, all these little things. Ignore the fact that you had to ask them three times to put the plate in the dishwasher for the moment. Turn it round so it's rather than, you know, you don't have your socks on, where's your bag, you haven't brushed your hair. Just try and get in that mental state of focusing on the positives, making sure that you prioritize the connection with your child, and then you will be in a better place also to focus back on your job at hand for the day.
It sounds great in practice, and this is the benefit of having someone like you, Heather, who is professional, qualified, able to view the world in this way. Because it's almost retraining ourselves to think and talk to our children in this way. And then how do you make it stick? I can imagine maybe even week one, probably wouldn't, I don't think I'd even get through week one, but certainly 1 or 2 days, you're really full of enthusiasm to make this new kind of paradigm work. And you get to day 3 or 4 and you're tired and you've got that meeting to get to, and it's just like, oh my God, come on, let's just do it. And you just fall back into old ways.
That's normal. And the great thing that we all can do is that we can collect our kids, if you do, in the car and you have a snack or something, and you try not to ask them about their day because they'll go, it was fine, you know, kind of thing. Just talk about something fun at the right time, maybe not in the car, maybe even in the evening. You just go, you know, I just want to say that didn't go so well this morning. I'm really, really trying hard to be calm in the mornings, and I got a bit frustrated and I nagged and then I shouted. I'm really sorry. Just, you'd say you made a mistake, because that's what we need to teach our kids. And if we don't bring it up and apologize, we're kind of missing an opportunity to help them recognize we're all human and completely normal. And then you could say, what can we all do to make that run a little bit more smoothly tomorrow? And you know what? They might say, Mom, your new thing is dumb, right? It's stupid, and I don't want to follow the pictures or something. You know, whatever they say. You go, yeah, I get that. Yeah, you probably liked it more when we were kind of all over the place. That seemed more fun to you. I know it's not easy to change things. This is a more consistent way of doing things, and it makes it easier for us in the morning. But it takes time. So you recognize and empathize, and really, honestly, we are so not perfect. And one morning I remember with my kids, when I was trying to get my son out the door and I was trying to be this new, calm, practical, empathetic mom, I think it took 15 minutes to put his second sock on. And before, I probably would have just shoved it on his foot, right? And just put him under my arm and put him out the door. But it was kind of, when I look back, a sort of step that was in the right direction. Afterwards, I kind of got it that he wasn't having a tantrum. But the first time, it took forever. It takes time and it's difficult. And it's so worth it, though. I used to drop them at school, as you said, Jane, just going, oh my God, that went so badly. And you just feel really guilty and awful as you head back to do all your work. It just takes time and change, actually. I mean, unless we try and do something new, things will always be the same. So it's having the courage just to give things a try and know they won't always be perfect.
Well, I'm sure there are families for whom it does work, but I love that you have not mentioned reward charts. You know, maybe for younger children they work, but I can tell you, we've tried all of those. And my son, just after 2 days, is like, well, I either don't get the reward or I do, and that's all I'm interested in. It doesn't change his behavior. This way of talking and empathizing and identifying with him and his emotions is much more reasonable, seems for me, much more something that we could adapt to.
I think we all love to stick a chart because it's like, wow, this just looks like it's going to work, you know, and you can get a chart and get lots of stars. But actually changing a habit, changing a behavior, it takes a lot of time. And it is really all about that connection with you and your child. I certainly, for myself, I look back over the years, I felt so awful when I lost my cool. That's not the mom I wanted to be. And let's be honest, you know, it's normal to lose our cool sometimes. I do that with my kids now, every once in a while. But I'm so much happier being that calm person that I am. It's more like me and the parent I wanted to be, as opposed to having my buttons pushed and me reacting in a way that I wasn't comfortable with.
Yes, it's so true. We don't erupt. We don't behave like this in anyone else. You know, you haven't just said something to me and I've just gone, well, Heather, if you don't agree with me, then I am going to walk out. So it's not who I am anyway. But as you say, they know how to push the buttons.
Let's go back to the school transition thing. The other thing about it is that it's so emotional for us because, you know, all of us have been successful doing what we're doing. And I look back and I think, if I worked hard and I put the hours in and I took some courses and I got trained, I can do anything. And then I had these children that somehow would just wind me up and I'd lose my cool. It took me a while to realize that actually I could go and find different ways of doing things and learn, because it's such an emotional journey. I remember saying, work is so easy compared to being a parent because it's such an emotional thing. You see yourself in your children and your children in you, and the whole thing is quite complicated, isn't it? So it gets to the core of who we are, which makes us often react in ways that are less than effective.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by this subject and I've learned so much in the last half an hour. We are going into this new term saying we can't carry on the way mornings were because it's just too stressful and it doesn't make anybody happy. But I have one last topic for you. Younger children and maybe older children as well, when they're in the summer, there's no routine. Kids often develop an awful lot. They grow in like plants in sunlight. And their emotions are quite high at this thought of going back to school. And we are seeing within my family some behaviours which are really, really out of character. You know, I'm guessing it's linked to some angst around change that might be coming. How do we just tune in to our children and perhaps even have a conversation about what they're worried about?
I love the image of the iceberg. So you've got a tiny tip above the water and then you've got the whole rest of the iceberg down below. And what we see on our children's behavior is above the surface. So it's just the tip. But underneath the iceberg is what is actually driving the behavior, which is their emotions, their needs, their feelings and who and what they are. We might see anything from kids who have tantrums, also kids withdrawing, kids being more weepy, kids speaking to you in a way that's inappropriate, thumping their brother. We always have to try and be as curious as we can about what's underneath the iceberg. So if we think about, to your point, so if you see a child who maybe is just a bit more, their fuse is shorter, or they are getting upset really quickly, it's our job is to try and drill down. And in order to do that, either we can do it by observing, or also just to try and take time to ask them. They might not even know, but it's those connected time. So make sure you have time one-on-one with them, quiet time, doing things they love that they feel good about. So Lego, right? You're on the floor doing Lego, and then you just might say, I've been noticing that you've just been a little bit upset this last week. I feel like you're finding something really difficult, which is absolutely fine. I'm just wondering, are you a bit worried about going back to school? And they might go, no. Or they might say, yes, I'm just worried about my new class. Or it's just trying to make sure we take the time to stop what we're doing and really tune into them. Trying what they call name the emotion in order to try and tame the emotion. So we try and put the emotion into words. And it's not really a fishing exercise, but it's really trying to drill down. And then the third part is just once we have an idea, try and with them find ways that we can help them think about problem solving. So what can we do to help you with that? Maybe it's they're worried about, I have one of my clients, her daughter's really anxious about the workload going up. She's a little bit older, but I mean, that's a totally legitimate worry. She's got some anxiety. So we just talk about, why do you think that? And what can we do just to try and help her anticipate it in a more positive way? And I think the real key is just that connection time this last few days before school starts. Just even if it's Lego for 10 minutes a night, just with you and maybe with their dad, just to have that time to be together, focused on just your child. It's amazing what comes out, but also it's amazing how much more connected and warmed and loved that they feel by that time. So I really recommend that at the end. You know how we're so busy, yeah, with the uniform and the school supplies, but it's just having those moments at the end of the summer just to really, really make sure that you feel deeply connected to them.
When the schools break up, we're all full of so much anticipation for the release, the lack of having to be anywhere at any particular time. Often we've got holidays planned and so on. There's so much sort of excitement there. And then as the summer goes on, work builds up. I kind of feel it's awful, but I feel a little bit like, well, I've given you all of this of my time already this summer. Now I need to be a bit selfish and get on with some of my stuff. And I'm sure that's playing out in my language, my behaviour, my body language with him and so on.
We want your kids to get the message that you hope they are looking forward to going back to school. It should be good, but we don't want them to think that you can't wait to get them out the door. But I have to tell you one thing about being organised with three kids. One of my children, I did have to take him the morning of the first day of school to buy some new trousers because he did put them on and he couldn't do them up. So just, we're not perfect. So I think that's important. And then the other thing I was just thinking to your point too, is that sometimes when we are in that mode of we're anticipating them getting back to school, thank goodness, a bit of routine, is that sometimes we brush aside what they're feeling. I can hear myself saying, you'll be fine. Your new class, it's going to be great. You've got that new teacher. He's supposed to be really good. And actually, it's such an easy thing for us to say, but that doesn't really help our kids because we're basically saying, look, your emotions, sorry, mate, but, you know, well, I'm brushing them aside. So it has to always be whatever they're thinking is okay. What's not okay is when they behave in a way that's inappropriate, but we just need to make sure. I know I used to do that.
Thank you, Heather, ever so much.
So thank you so much.
I think I need to inquire about building a separate annex for Heather and move her in at the bottom of the garden after all of that. She's clearly been through almost every challenging situation with her clients or with her own family. She had heaps and heaps of advice, and I want to remind you all, as Heather says, if you're late on the first morning because you haven't got the right school trousers or nothing fits, it really doesn't matter. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. But I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can find out more about working with Heather and any of our coaches over on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com, and there are more notes on how to reach Heather in our show notes. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. I hope you'll tune in then.